I'm demonstrating real failure on my part to pay attention. But how is Lot related to Abram again? Was it a cousin? Is that right?
Or is I thought it... they were brothers.
Are they brothers? Yeah, okay.
Also, I looked it up. It looks like he's his nephew. I think you were right. But he's sometimes called his brother because of the tradition that he would have been like adopted because his dad died or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
I have to dig into it more. I feel I'm a little embarrassed. I'm like, I don't know. I don't, who is Lot? I know his wife is Salt. Like,
right. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're really demonstrating the value of our Candler education. Yeah. Candler School of Theology did not. Candler School of Theology did not prepare us.
You can tweet at Brent Strong.
He's at Duke now. So
yeah. Don't go there. Oh man. Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Welcome, Patrick. Will you introduce yourself? Tell us kind of who you are, where you are, what you do, and how you identify and your pronouns.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Patrick Fallhaber, he, him, his. I'm the pastor at North Decatur United Methodist Church, which is in a little suburb right outside of the city of Atlanta. Still inside 285, if you're familiar with that area. I've been telling people either one of two things. Depending on my mood, like my job is reading, writing, and talking mostly, and also like making plans and canceling them. That's mostly what I do in Decatur. There's a lot of really great stuff that we've got going on. We're very close to the seminary, so we see a lot of folks who are just living into their call. And we're also very close to another suburb named Clarkston, which means that we do a lot of work with refugees and folks who are just trying to build home and space here for the first time. So that intersection is really lovely. And so we just try to do what we can to help people find firm ground and a sense of faithfulness in a new space. All right, this is Genesis 13, starting at the first verse. Abram went up from Egypt toward the arid southern plain with his wife, with everything he had, and with Lot. Abram was very wealthy in livestock, silver, and gold. Abram traveled, making and breaking camp from the arid southern plain to Bethel and to the sacred place there, where he had first pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai. That is, to the place at which he had earlier built the altar. There he worshiped in the Lord's name. Now Lot, who traveled with Abram, also had flocks, cattle, and tents. They had so many possessions between them that the land could not support both of them. They could no longer live together. Conflicts broke out between those herding Abram's livestock and those herding Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land. After Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, "From this place where you are standing, look up and gaze to the north, south, east, and west, because all the land that you see, I give you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth. If someone could count the bits of dust on the earth, then they could also count your descendants. Stand up and walk around through the length and breadth of the land, because I am giving it to you." So Abram packed his tent and went and settled by the oaks in Mamre and Hebron, where he builds an altar to the Lord. So ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. So I've got thoughts, but I want to start with kind of what sticks out with you or for you.
Yeah. So this may be cheating, but it feels weird to not have those verses in the middle where they like actually talk about going their separate ways and actually splitting. Like that just feels like a weird gap. But
I'm pretty sure our seminary professor would be really upset at the lectionary right now.
What were the rules?
Read it slowly.
Keep reading. Read slowly.
And read it again.
That's right.
Sorry, go ahead. Feels weird.
Well, yeah. So without those, it's really interesting just to go from like conflict breaking out between Abram's herders and Lot's herders to Lot's gone. And now God's giving Abram this massive chunk of land where Abram's people would be so numerous that they'd be like dust. Like it seems like the problem was that there were too many people. But the outcome of them being able to part ways is that now they can have, now there is no such thing as too many people. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that, but like while I was reading it, I was like, what does it mean to go from in the same space, like this land is too scarce for us to live together, to this land is so abundant, you could never use up its resources.
And how did that happen?
Right.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Thich Nhat Hanh lately just because he died earlier this year and I guess late last year. And like there was a kid, like maybe, I don't know, 8 years old or something like that, said, you know, my father's been really abusive to me. And he was just sort of talking about, and like, do I have to try to stay in a relationship with my dad? He was like, well, you know, in some ways we carry the burden of our ancestry in us all the time. And like, we hold anger and resentment and hatred and pain that's been handed to us over generations. And we have a obligation in some sense, but also the gift of being able to like actually hold that and process that and like care for those parts so that we can heal pain in our ancestry. And so like with this passage with, there's just a lot of intersections happening for me in my head right now with like Lot and Abram, like only knowing conflict in this place, and then both being able to like step away, find some healing, and then God starts speaking to Abram again.
Yeah. I was also struck by like the way we talk about the land, right? I think our inclination as people and those who believe we are innately good would disagree with me, and that's okay. But I think our inclination is to use it up till it's spent. Right. And like, I think that's kind of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's like sacred work to say, like, let's not use this land up till it's spent.
Yeah.
Let's find a way that we can rotate crops. Let's find a way that we can like let cattle spread. You know, we are working really hard in my house to reduce our carbon footprint. And it takes work, right? Because it is not natural for us. And so I think like, in some ways, this is kind of holy modeling of that as well for people who were so deeply connected to the land. I think like we're so separated from like where our food comes from often that it's a little harder for us to kind of think about that. But you know, I talked to my dad and he talks about like, okay, well, I have to get this grass ready while the cows are over here. And then, you know, when they move over there, then I get the grass ready over there. And so just thinking about how we like think about the land, and not just land, but resources in general, right? Like, oh, if I don't use them all, then they'll go away.
Yeah.
But that's how, and that is how it works in a capitalist economy, right?
Yeah. Susanna and I, sorry, my wife Susanna and I are reading The Unsettling of America again, which is a great book by Wendell Berry. And he's sort of railing about this, where we are in the book too, like, you know, that it used to be the case that a single farmer was feeding, you know, 20 families maybe, you know, and now we expect a single farmer to feed thousands of people and how that like separation sort of distances us more and more and more. And because we prioritize suburbanization in cities and like these sort of urban spaces growing to have more and more people in them, like farming is looked down upon as like not important, but also not like for smart people, right? Like it's something, right? And so like the more distance we create emotionally from the people who are doing the work, it sort of deepens that division the same kind of way, like the poor use of resources and all that. Suzanne and I are in the middle of a debate about whether or not to renew our Prime subscription for the same reason, right?
Like, yeah,
I love that free shipping, but is it worth the toll?
I struggle with that because like there are things, so like masks, there's a particular KN95 that my son will wear, and he has to wear a mask all day at school. Mm-hmm. We're in California. We take this seriously.
We're wearing masks. Decatur. Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. No. but you know, and so, but I can't find them anywhere else. I've looked, like I'm really trying. And so like, what do I do? And then like, the problem is though, then I'm like, well, I have to get my masks there. And then I'm like, well, but I also need this. And I don't want to support Bezos with anything. And I don't want a truck driving all the time. And we've grown so accustomed to it, right? I think it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make good choices.
Right. But what's wild is like, that's all new, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and our fast dependence on it, I don't even really have words necessarily for what to say there, but like, I guess like pivoting back to like the scripture itself, like, I wonder if those conflicts could have been resolved by taking a step back and not having to part ways, right? Like, what if before we just like devoted ourselves to the Walmartification of America and like the idea of corporate value defining what societal value is, like what if we had allowed ourselves to take a step back just a decade ago and say like, oh, interesting, this distribution company is doing something that feels really good, I wonder what this impact is going to be, and being able to like just gain that perspective before, you know, fighting in the field about which sheep get what grass, or whether or not cattle can be on the same properties, or whether it was marked right. Like, is that my cow or your cow? Like, you know, to some extent, like for Lot and Abraham, who've been traveling together for so long, like, and brothers, like, when did they start identifying that's mine, that's yours, and don't touch mine?
Right.
What is that?
Why isn't it just ours?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's wild. Oh yeah, I do wonder like what creates that shift between this is ours.
Right.
And like, oh no, that one's mine. That one's yours. I know when it happens for me, it's when I feel like I put that in the refrigerator and somebody took it. Right. Like I keep trying to put soda waters in there for myself. And every time I go to get one, it's empty. And so then I'm like pissed and I'm like, no, this is my soda water. I think that's how we get there, right?
Scarcity of resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick, will you pray for us?
Happy to. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. God, I am so grateful for this time. I'm so grateful for the scripture. I'm so grateful for this friendship. I'm so grateful for this technology that allows us to connect around this incredible passage and the ways that you continue to inspire us through it. I just ask that your presence would settle over the Bluest house, that there would be peace and an abundance of joy, and that they all would learn to let go of things so that they could trust in your abundance more and more each day. I ask that in my life as well. And I just pray that this Lenten season would help us to know your heart better, so that we can learn to love each other better. We ask all of this through Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much.
Yeah, this is great.
Good to have you. Yeah.
I'm super excited for you. This is awesome.
That's great.
Go.